As you're getting seated, I invite you to open up your Bible with me to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. If you do not have a Bible with you, you can grab one of the Bibles that's in the pew underneath your seat and follow along with us. I'd encourage you to do so. And we are coming to the end of our current sermon series today, and I want to just say a brief word before we jump into this. Today is going to be the last Sunday for several weeks that you are going to see me in the pulpit, because in June and July, most of you know that I'm going to be on sabbatical for the months of June and July, so I will not be here in June and July. However, we are going to have a wonderful sermon series that's going to start next Sunday and continue through the entire summer. And you can read more about this in the newsletter. It's called Summer in the Psalms, and basically we're going to spend, you guessed it, the summer in the Psalms. Isn't that a clever title? obviously, there's 150 psalms. We are not going to cover every one of them this summer. But during the summer months of June, July, and August, we are going to be in the Psalms, and each Sunday, there's going to be a different psalm that we are going to look at. And I don't know about you, but for many people I've talked to, they've said the same thing that I have felt over the years, and that is that the more time that goes by, the more I love the Psalms, and they are a blessing in my life, and I hope they are in yours as well. And so in the coming weeks, in June and July, we're going to have a variety of guest preachers, and we're going to be working through different psalms together during that time, and I think that you are going to really enjoy working through some of those as we go through our summer together. But today, we are going to conclude our series, which we have been going through for the last 6 weeks, on the theme of rest in the Bible. And in this final message, I want to talk with you about the subject that I think is very important when it comes to finding rest and finding peace in our lives, and that is the subject of embracing our limits. And I will talk more about that as we go this morning, but I'm going to be referencing a variety of scriptures this morning. We're going to take kind of a survey of a number of different passages. I won't be focusing on just one. However, I do want to start off by looking at what I believe is a key passage in understanding this topic, and that is in Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 23. So hear now the word of the Lord. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now, obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws, and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they bring, every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you, and you will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace." So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and they judged the people at all times. Any hard case they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went away to his own country. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the end of this sermon series asking for you to direct our hearts, direct our paths, and give us wisdom. Lord, we come here acknowledging that we are dependent upon you. We are dependent upon you for strength. We are dependent upon you for help. We are dependent upon you for knowledge and wisdom, and we know that that knowledge and wisdom comes from your word. And so this morning, we ask that you would teach us, direct us, help us, Lord, in every area of life so that we might be faithful as your disciples. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So back in 2011, there was a film that was released, and the title of the film kind of caught my attention. It was called Limitless, and it was really kind of a bizarre film. I wouldn't really recommend that you watch it. It was kind of weird, but the film was about a man named Edward, and Edward was a struggling writer in New York City. He was struggling to put his life together. He was struggling to make progress in his career. Kind of felt like his life wasn't going anywhere. But then someone introduced Edward to a mysterious drug, and this drug was called NZT48, and the drug allowed him to access every single part of his brain and overcome all of his previous obstacles. All of a sudden, he was able to process large amounts of information at incredible speed. It gave him inspiration for his work like he had never experienced before. He had super enhanced interpersonal skills, and he could influence people and make decisions like never before. He had greater confidence than ever before. He had greater knowledge than ever before, and he began to invest in the stock market and make millions upon millions of dollars. And in short, he felt like he became limitless. Of course, it was all just a house of cards, because every time the drug would wear off, he would just return back to his normal, limited self. And in fact, the longer that he took it, the more the side effects began to have devastating consequences in his life and actually threatened to destroy his life. Now, I reference that story because I think many people, many of us, even as Christians, are a lot like Edward. Not in the sense that necessarily we take drugs, hopefully not, but we try to live as if we have no limits. And as a result, because we try to live as if we have no limits, many of us are living lives that feel exhausted, that feel frustrated, and that feel anxious. And what I want to tell you this morning is that if we are going to be at peace, we cannot live as creatures that assume we have no limits. If we are going to be at peace, we need to embrace the limits that God has given us. Now, the first thing that we need to do if we are going to embrace our limits is we have to step back and we have to face our finitude. That's number one. We have to face our finitude. Now, that's hard to do because most human beings live under the illusion that we are in control. Anybody, you don't have to raise your hand, but just ask yourself this question. Have you ever lived under the illusion that you are in control of your life, that you are in control of all things? We all do this in one way or another. We like to think that we're in control, and we like to think that we can do anything that we want to do, and we can be anything that we want to be. There's a lot of people who live by the words of the famous motivational speaker, Tony Robbins, who said, "The only limit to your impact is your imagination and commitment." Isn't that a wonderful quote? The only limit to your impact is your imagination and commitment. Well, that sounds great, but it's a bunch of baloney. Not everything that's catchy is actually true. That quote assumes that we are limitless. There's no limit to what you can do. The only limit you have is your imagination. Well, that simply is not true. We can live lives as if we are in complete control of everything and that we have no limits, but most of us eventually come face to face with the reality that we are limited creatures. Eventually, we have to face our finitude. What do I mean by finitude? Well, the word finitude or finite, it comes from the Latin root fin, which just means end. And to be finite means to have limits or bounds. That's what it means to be finite, to have limits or bounds. And human beings are finite creatures, and we have many limits. We have many bounds. We are bound by space. That means we can't be in every place at once. I know some of you wish you could be in every single place at once, but we can't do that because we are bound by space. We are bound by time, which means that we can't do absolutely everything because we have limited time. There are only 24 hours in the day. There's not 25, there's 24. There are only 7 days in a week. There's not eight. We have limited time, which means that we can't do everything. We are bound by time. We're also bound by our own humanity, which means that we do not have supernatural strength. We have limited capacities. We have limited energy. And if we don't rest and sleep, as I have said earlier in this series, then we will destroy ourselves. So we are finite creatures. We have all kinds of limits. In contrast, we say that God is not finite, God is infinite. And infinite means that God is without any limits and without any bounds. God is not bound by space. God can be everywhere at once. God is not bound by time. He lives outside of time in eternity. And so he's not bound by time. He's not bound by a flesh so that he runs out of strength or he needs to rest or he needs to sleep. God is infinite, and that's what makes God distinct from from us, because we are finite. Now, we all have to come face to face with that reality. And when we do come face to face with that, people often will make one of two mistakes. They will either try to resist their limits, or they'll try to apologize for them. So some people, when they come face to face with their limits, try to just resist their limits. They might even think, you know what? If I just try harder, maybe I can overcome all of these limitations in my life. We try it, but we can't do it. We can hang on to the delusion that if we just work a little harder, try a little harder, we can regain control. Problem is with that it's impossible to overcome our limits. And when we try to overcome them, we are trying to live in a way that is contrary to the way God created us. He didn't create you to be infinite. He created you to be finite. So when you try to be infinite, you're living against the way God created you. Author Kelly Capick wrote a book about limits, and he wrote in that book, he said, many of us fail to understand that our limitations are a gift from God and therefore good. This produces in us the burden of trying to be something we are not and cannot be. God's limits are a good thing, even though some people's reaction is to try to resist them. Other people, they don't try to resist their limits. They just feel bad about them and actually apologize for their limits. They act as if it is somehow sinful that they can't be everywhere at once and do everything that they might want to do. But hear me when I say this. Finitude is not a sin. We have this in our minds that somehow being finite is somehow bad, or that it's a sin. But God declared finite creatures to be good when he created us, and that's how we were intended to live. As I said just a few moments ago, when we try to live if we are infinite, we are rejecting our nature. We are, in fact, trying to be God. If you're trying to live as if you are infinite, you're trying to be God. To quote again from Kelly Capick, he says, we need to stop asking or feeling that we should ask for God's forgiveness when we can't do everything, and we need to ask forgiveness for ever imagining that we could. There are a lot of people in the world today who are trying to live lives as if they are God. And what we need to recognize is that finitude is a core aspect of our creaturely existence. This means that God created us with limits, and instead of resisting our limits, we should recognize that our limits are actually God's goodness that he has instilled in us. They are a good thing, and we should embrace our limits as gifts from God. So for the remainder of this sermon, I want to talk about embracing our limits and what are some of the limits that we need to embrace. And I want to mention six of them. We could talk about more than six, but I'm going to talk about six this morning because I think these are some big ones. So first of all, we need to recognize and embrace that we have limits in our time. As I already mentioned, unlike God, human beings are bound by time. You only have 24 hours in the day. Your lifespan is only a certain determined length. And it doesn't matter how long you live, time is always going to be limited. We cannot do everything. And so that means we have to, as God's people, set priorities for what are the important things that I can do with my time because time is limited. Now we see that in the ministry of Jesus. When Jesus, when the Son of God took on flesh and became a man, we see that in the ministry of Jesus, he had limited time and he set priorities for what he was going to do in his ministry. I referenced last week at the beginning of Mark where Jesus goes on this healing spree. And after the healing spree, it says in Mark 1:35, rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Now, when you look at that text, it shows you something about Jesus. And that is that Jesus set priorities in his ministry. He did not heal every person. He couldn't heal every person. He couldn't visit every single town. He couldn't touch every single person that was in Galilee. People were constantly clamoring for his attention and saying, "Stay longer here, Jesus, because there's more people to heal and there's more work to be done." And Jesus had to say at certain times, "No, I have to go on to the next towns also because this is the reason I came out." Jesus had a mission and he stayed focused on that mission. And that meant sometimes he had to say no to certain things and certain people to move on and continue fulfilling his mission. Now, the same is true for us. If we are going to live faithfully as God's people, and if we are going to embrace God's limits, then we must recognize that we do not have unlimited time. Kevin DeYoung writes these words. He says, "The person who never sets priorities is the person who does not believe in his own finitude. We don't expect to be able to buy anything we want because we know there is a limit to our money. But somehow we live as if time knew no bounds, when in fact time is much more limited than money." You ever thought about that? Time is a lot more limited than money because you can create more money. You can't create more time. Time is limited and you can't create more of it. It's even more limited than money, and therefore embracing our limits on time means setting our priorities. So we have to learn to say no to certain things so we can focus on the most important things. So here's the second thing. We don't just have limits in our time, we have limits in our capacities. What I mean by this is that human beings have certain capacities, and we don't have an endless supply of those capacities. We have certain capacities of strength, and we have certain capacities of energy, and those capacities are finite. They run out if we do not take care of ourselves. As I said earlier, if we don't rest, if we don't sleep, we will destroy ourselves physically, we will destroy ourselves emotionally and spiritually. And that was a lesson that Moses had to learn. In the passage we read in Exodus 18, Moses was acting as the judge of the people, and he took the entire responsibility for that upon his shoulders. Moses was a good leader, but he hadn't yet learned the lesson that he could not do everything himself. And his father-in-law, Jethro, saw that the people were coming to Moses literally from sunup to sundown, and all day long, Moses was never taking any break. He was doing all of this himself. And here's what Jethro said to him. Listen to these words again from Exodus 18. He said, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone." That's good advice for many people in life. Maybe it's some advice some of us in the room need to hear this morning. We can't do everything, and we certainly can't do many things by ourselves. So he said, Moses, I'm going to tell you what to do. And Moses was open to listening to some advice. He said, appoint other godly men to take on this role with you and delegate some of the responsibility to them. And then he said in Exodus 18:22, so it will be easier for you and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you and you will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace. Every single one of us has to learn the lesson that Moses learned. We have limited capacities. That's just a fact of life. If we ignore this and we live beyond our limits, it will have damaging consequences in our lives. If you are constantly tired and constantly exhausted, constantly anxious or irritable, let me just suggest to you, it may be because you are living beyond your limits. Author Peter Scazzaro writes, anger, depression, and fears often function as check oil lights to slow us down, informing us that something is not right on the inside of our lives. This is one key way God stops me, limits the pace of my life, and gets my attention. So we have limits in our capacities. Here's a third one. We have limits in our abilities. One of the greatest lies that our culture often tells young people is you can do anything you want to do and you can be anything you want to be. Again, that sounds nice, but is that really true? I love watching basketball, and I wish that I could play basketball like some of the NBA greats, but let's just face it, I'm just going to tell you this right now. I will never be able to play basketball like Michael Jordan or LeBron James or any of these guys. I'm not built for that. I was born and I reached a certain height. And yeah, some of you think I'm tall, but not compared to the guys standing on the NBA floor. And let's just face it, because of certain ways people are built, they're going to be naturally more talented in that area. And no matter how hard I try, I will never reach that same level. No matter how much I might try, I would never make a good doctor. I just don't have the constitution for it, you know? I almost pass out when I go get a flu shot. I just can't handle, I can't handle needles and all of those things. And some people, they're just wired for that. But no matter how hard I try, that wouldn't be me. I can just tell you that right now. The lie that you can do anything that you want to do and be anything that you want to be ignores something, and that is that God created each person with unique personalities, unique dispositions, unique talents, and unique gifts. And what we should be doing is encouraging people to ask, how is it that God uniquely created you so that you can live according to the person God wants you to be? The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Did you catch that phrase, God's varied grace? God's grace is varied. That means he doesn't give everybody the same set of gifts. He doesn't give everybody the same personality. He doesn't give everybody the same strengths. We're different, and that means that I have limits in my abilities because God's given me certain abilities and he hasn't given me others. And the same is true for you. You have certain abilities that I don't have, and there are certain abilities others have that you won't have. It's a limitation, but it's part of God's varied grace that he creates us differently. Some people are natural artists. You don't want me to paint a picture to hang on the church wall. I'll just tell you that right now. Some people are natural artists. Some people are natural builders. Some people are wired to be scientists. Some people are wired to be musicians. Some people are naturally funny and they're just good at making people laugh. And other people are just naturally very philosophical and they're good at making people think. And yes, there are lots of skills and things that we can learn, but we also do have limits in our abilities, and that's part of the way God created us. So the main question we should be asking is, how has God created me, and how can I use my unique abilities for him? to reference Peter Scazzaro again, he talked about, he's a pastor, and then early on in his ministry, he talked about how he was very much trying to learn from other pastors, and he would listen to and watch these other big name pastors, celebrity pastors, because he wanted to be like them. And he finally came to a realization. He writes in one of his books, he says, "The problem was that God had not given me the abilities, the capacities, or the calling he had given those other leaders. I brought different strengths to the task of leadership. My unwillingness to embrace my own limits led me down paths God never intended for me. I spent years attempting to live out a script for my life that was not mine. While the script needed an actor, I was auditioning for the wrong part." How many of us are guilty of that same thing? Trying to live out somebody else's life. Trying to look at others and be like them, when in fact God hasn't gifted us in the same way as them. He's given us other gifts or other capacities that we are called to live out. The most simple way I could put it is this: God isn't calling you to live someone else's life. He's calling you to live your life and not worry about what others are doing. And so we need to embrace the limits in our abilities and see these as part of God's gift. Here's a fourth thing. We also have limits in our knowledge. We have limits in our knowledge. God is not limited in his knowledge. We say that God is omniscient, which means he is all-knowing. He knows all of human history, the past, the present, and the future. God never learns anything. He never forgets anything. He's never surprised by anything because God is all-knowing. God's knowledge is infinite. Human beings, however, we have limits in our knowledge. Our knowledge is finite. You can see this in the first pages of Scripture, immediately after God created Adam and Eve. And after God created Adam, he placed Adam in the garden, and he said to him in Genesis 2, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, God imposed a limit on human beings immediately after placing them in the garden. And this was not some random limit that God imposed. This was a command that was intended to show Adam and Eve that God knows everything, but your knowledge is finite, and therefore there's a limit to what you know, and you need to trust in me and trust in my word and trust in what I command. Because you don't know everything, but I do. They were to rely on God's revelation and obey his authority. Well, what happened? Instead of seeing God's limits as a gift, they saw God's limits as something to be overcome. And Satan said to Eve, "No, you should eat of that fruit because you can become," remember what he said, "like God. You can know more than what you're really supposed to know." And so they ate from that tree. They didn't want to be finite. They wanted to be infinite. In short, they really wanted to become like God. And we know that the consequences were disastrous. But let me just say it to you this morning, that if we are going to live in right relationship with God and with one another, we have to embrace the reality that we have limits in our knowledge. That's important in my relationship with God, because I need to be reminded that God knows more than I do. And therefore, I have to trust what God says in his word. I don't always understand it. I don't always have all the answers. But I have to reach a point where I have to say, well, does God know more than I do, or do I know more than God? And if God knows more than I do, and if my knowledge is limited, then I have to say, I'm going to trust the one who's infinite rather than trusting in my finite self. It's important in our relationship with God, but it's also important in our relationship with others, because remembering that we have limits in our knowledge keeps us humble in our relationships. I think you know this to be true. People who are arrogant are usually people who think that they know everything, right? It's almost a definition of an arrogant person. They think that they know everything. People who are humble are people who recognize there's a lot that they don't know. And therefore, they embrace the limit of their knowledge and have healthier relationships as a result. Not everything has been revealed to us because we are finite. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." God hasn't told me everything. If I knew as much as God did, then I would be God. But he's revealed what I need to know, and he reveals those things so that I might follow his word and follow his will. So we have limits in our knowledge. Here's a fifth thing. We have limits in our circumstances. Every single one of you sitting in this room has some kind of limitations based upon your current circumstances. Some of you sitting here are in a season of life where you are raising small children, and this limits your freedom to do certain things. Others are in the season of life on the other end of the spectrum where you're retired, but your body does not work as well as it used to when you were young, and that puts certain limitations on your life. There are some who are facing limitations because of a medical condition, and that medical condition puts limitations on your life. Or perhaps you have the circumstance of having a child with special needs, and because you have a child with special needs who needs a lot of extra attention, that puts limitations on your life. Or perhaps you have the circumstance of being a caregiver for a spouse or another family member who needs a lot of extra help, and that puts limitations on your life. You see that no matter what you might reference, we all have certain limitations in our lives based upon our circumstances. Now, when you come face to face with the reality that you have limitations based upon your circumstances, you have two choices. You can become angry about that and resentful about that, or you can ask, how might God be at work in my circumstances for my good and for his glory? Scripture says he works all things together for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so we have to ask that, are my circumstances outside of God's plan? Or are they within God's plan? Of course, you know the answer to that. They're all within the sovereignty of God and part of his plan. And therefore, rather than seeing the limitations of my circumstances as somehow something that I should be angry about, I can ask the question, how is it that God is working in and through these things for my good and for his glory? The example in Scripture that I love to illustrate this is the example of the Apostle Paul. Many of you know that at the end of his life, Paul spent a lot of time in prison as a prisoner. Now, that put a limitation on his life. Being a prisoner for the later years of his life meant he had a lot of limitations. Paul could have been angry about that. He could have been resentful about that. But he wasn't. And in fact, he actually saw the way that God worked through those limitations to bring about good things. Paul says this in Philippians 1. He says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul knew that he had limitations on his circumstances. But he embraced those as part of God's sovereign plan for his life. And we need to think in the same way. So that brings me to the last of these six that I want to mention this morning, and that is that we also have limits in our responsibilities. I am convinced that many people today are not at peace in their lives, and they're not at rest in their lives because they don't really have a clear understanding of what am I responsible for in my life. Paul David Tripp wrote about this years ago in his book called Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands, and he illustrated the right understanding of our responsibility using the image of two circles. And I put a handout in your bulletin this morning that you can look at to reference this. I have it on the screen for you as well. But there are two circles, and he said the larger circle we might call our circle of concern, our circle of concern. This circle contains all the things that we are concerned about in life, right? And we are concerned about many different things. I'm sure it's not hard for you to start listing things that would be included in your circle of concern. All the things that concern me, but here's the thing, my circle of concern is all the things that concern me, but are beyond my ability to control. And therefore, I need to identify what are the things that concern me. They're in that circle of concern, but they're beyond my ability to control. And therefore, I need to entrust those things to God because I don't have control over them and they are not my responsibility. The inner circle represents what we might call the circle of responsibility. Outer circle is the circle of concern. The inner circle is the circle of responsibility. And this circle contains the things that God has called me to do and that, here's the key, I cannot pass on to anyone else. These are the things that I and only I can do, that God has called me to do, and that I cannot pass on to anyone else. And my responsibility is to identify those things and faithfully obey God. Now, when it comes to clarifying our responsibility, people can go wrong in one of two ways. There are some who shrink their circle of responsibility so that they shrink what really God has called them to do and only them to do, and they expect God to do their job. Now, we call that being irresponsible. That's shirking your responsibility. Shrinking your circle of responsibility is what we call being irresponsible. On the other hand, there are some, and I know some of you sitting here can relate to this, who expand their circle of responsibility, and they try to take control of things that are beyond their control and take responsibility for things that are not their responsibility, and in doing so, they're trying to do God's job for him. And do you see how either one of those is an error? Those are people that we might call, instead of being irresponsible, being overly responsible. They're confusing their job with God's job and trying to be God. Many of you have probably seen the famous football movie. It's an older movie now, but I'm sure many of you have seen this famous football movie called Rudy. Which was inspired by a true story of Daniel Rudiger, who had this dream of playing football for Notre Dame. It's a great film. And there's a scene in that movie where Rudy is talking to the former president of Notre Dame, Father John Kavanaugh, and he complains that all of his efforts have not succeeded. And his dream of playing football for Notre Dame is going to be over. And he asks, he says, "Have I done everything I possibly can? Can you help?" And here's what Father John Kavanaugh says. He says, "Son, in years of religious studies, I've come up with only two hard, incontrovertible facts. There is a God, and I'm not him." Some of us need to hear that this morning. There is a God, and you're not him. And a lot of our grief in life comes from confusing who we are and trying to be God, with confusing the fact that we are finite. Only God is infinite, and we will never be at rest. We will never be at peace until we come to the recognition that we are not God, that he is infinite. He created us with limits, and those limits are not a bad thing, but they are part of the way he designed and created us. We need to be reminded of our finitude throughout the course of our lives. And one of the ways we can be reminded of our finitude is by keeping our eyes focused on the God who is infinite and keeping our eyes focused on him alone. The classic hymn, "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise," gives us a powerful reminder of who God is and who we are. And I want you to hear these words as we close this morning. Verse 1 reminds us that God is infinite. It says, immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. And then later in that same hymn, that's contrasted with us. God is infinite, but we are finite. And the words go like this: to all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you never change. You are infinite, and we are finite, and we are reminded that you alone are the one who is without limits. You alone are immortal. You alone are the one who is eternal. And so help us, Lord, to keep our eyes fixed upon you. Help us not to rebel against you and try to be something that we were not created to be, but help us to praise your name as the only one in this universe who is infinite, and to live our lives faithfully as the creatures that you have created us to be. We give you all the honor and the glory and praise this morning, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.